Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Paul's. It is good to see you here today. If you are new or you're here for the first time, special welcome, and I hope you feel at home with us. We'd invite you to join us for some coffee or tea after the service just down at that end of the building. And if this is your first time or you are newish, I would invite you to fill out one of our Connect cards that are in the pews. You can give it to me or pop it in the offering plate or just put it at the desk, the hub desk in the lobby. But I do hope that you enjoy your time worshiping here today. We do have a few announcements that we will go through just to make sure everybody is on approximately the same page. Our Christmas carol service is this Tuesday evening. We've talked before about this being a different day earlier in the season. But I would encourage you to take the insert that is in your bulletin talking about this and mark your calendars, but take it and give it to a friend or a neighbor or a relative or anyone to invite them to come along as well. The seniors' Christmas lunch is coming up on December 11th. You do need to sign up for that in advance, and you need to sign up by the 8th of December, so that's next Sunday. So if you don't put your name down today, you've got one more week, but you do need to get it done by then. Offering envelopes are available if you haven't picked yours up already. If you don't know what offering envelopes are or what they are for, there is a half page sitting by the envelopes that are just on the other side of this wall that talk about the different ways that you can give at St. Paul's, including envelopes and PAR, the pre-authorized remittance, or electronic giving. So that's all laid out there. And if you are interested in any of those, you can fill out one of the sheets that are there by the envelopes as well. Also, I will be on vacation this coming week, so I won't be around. I usually try and get a week of vacation before Advent, but because of a variety of circumstances, it wasn't possible before, so I'm taking it early in Advent, and Ian Sugar will be preaching next Sunday. And Pastor Tammy has our other announcement.
Good morning. Last week at the congregational meeting, I talked to you about ways to invest in your church family, and the response has been awesome. I have quite a few here. I have more in my office. People who are choosing to invest in their church, people who are saying, put me in. I'd love to be a part of this community of serving the people in our community. The people that have signed up so far, have signed up for in family ministry, signed up to be a life group leader, what have I got here? Welcome ministry, all kinds of areas there are to serve in our church. There's a board out here in the foyer. I welcome you to look at it. Preferably consider a place here in your St. Paul's community where you would like to be a part of serving the other people in your church and our community. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy. And just to add to what she has said and what she said last week, there's a variety of different things on the board. Some of them are one-offs. We need somebody to do one thing once. We need somebody to do something perhaps once a month or once every 2 months, or something that happens across in a matter of a month and a few times during months. So there's a variety of different opportunities to serve in different ways, but also time spans and commitment levels as well. So please do have a look. Let's now prepare to worship God.
Thank you.
Do you remember what it was like to be excited about the arrival of Christmas? Maybe you still feel that. Maybe you've seen that in your children or your grandchildren. Wouldn't it be great if that kind of anticipation was what we felt right now about entering into worship with God? Because the Lord is in this place. The living God is here. His Holy Spirit is amongst us. And we have the opportunity this morning to encounter the living God. So let us be open to him with anticipation and expectation of meeting God as we worship. Let us worship him. Let us pray together. Our Lord God, we gather together in this place. We gather together as sisters and brothers in Jesus. We gather together to proclaim you as God, to proclaim you as Lord of all. And we celebrate before you for all that you are and all that you have done for us in Jesus. You are the Creator God, but you are also the Savior, that in the fullness of time, at your chosen time, you, the living God, became human in Jesus to live amongst us, to live for us, and to die for us on the cross, but to rise again from the dead. We celebrate before you because you are the God present with us in our lives and in this place by your Holy Spirit. We worship you, Father, Son, and Spirit, because of all you are and all that you have done and are doing. Bless us with your grace and mercy. We pray that you would forgive our sins because we do not love you with everything we are. At least we don't live that way. And we do not love our neighbors as we love ourselves. At least we don't live that way. So we pray that you would forgive us in Jesus and that you would make us whole again in him, that we truly should love you with all we are and love others as we love ourselves. Our God, these prayers we offer to you in Jesus Christ. As we continue to pray together, the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
Responsive reading this morning is Psalm 122 and 523 in the Pew Bible. I rejoice with those who said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribe goes up, the tribe of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statutes given to Israel. There stands a throne for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, Peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. May God bless his holy word.
Yeah.
Good morning. I saw that there were some kids here this morning. Would you please come forward? Good morning. Almost, it's afternoon now, isn't it? No, not quite. Hi, how are you guys? Good. Today we're going to do something special. Today we are going to light the hope candle. But first of all, I want to tell you about when I was a little girl, and I loved stories more than anything else. Do you love stories? Yeah. Well, I used to think my dad was the greatest storyteller. And after I asked him all of his stories, I would ask him to repeat them a million times. And I would talk to my mom and to my grandma. I thought everybody had a story. And do you know what? I found out that was true. I bet you all of these people here, grandmas and grandpas, young people and old people, all have stories that we can share with each other. Now, the children of Israel, the Jewish people that their stories are recorded in the Bible. And their stories are recorded from the beginning of time all the way through. And it wasn't uncommon for them to gather together and to tell the story. They would tell the story of hope. They would say the story. They would talk about where they had come from, where their ancestors had come from, and that they were looking forward to, with great expectation, to that hope of the Messiah coming. We today are also looking forward to when Jesus Christ returns. So we have this hope as well. Would you like to come and light this with me? Okay, come on up here. I'm going to let one of you hold it. And together we light the candle of hope. Thank you, girls. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the kids in our church. And thank you for these two girls. I pray that you would bless them, that you would fill them with your hope, that they would know that they too have a beautiful future ahead of them, looking forward to eternity with you. Thank you for that hope for everybody in this room. Bless us and keep us. In your name, amen.
Can't help but think about one child at Fairview out west. Whenever a match was struck to light one of the Advent wreaths, didn't matter how many times he'd seen it, it was always, it was great. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you do speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds to contemplate what you say. Give us hearts to receive and embrace what you say. We pray in Jesus. Amen.
with great anticipation, we lift our songs up.
We are reading this morning from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10. Let us hear God's word. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever had to cut down a tree? Have it cut down by someone, or perhaps cut it down yourself. We had an ash tree on our front yard, and had is the operative word in that. It fell victim to the emerald ash borer some time ago. And so a couple of years ago, we had to take it down. Neighbor came over, and the two of us worked at it, got the tree down, got it all cut up, all in pretty good time. We did not want to grow another ash tree, so we brought somebody in to grind the stump down completely so that we would have room to put up our cherry tree. There's no cherry borers, as far as we know. Last summer, the neighbor on the other side took down his ash tree. But it It didn't want to be stopped living. It kept putting out shoots all the rest of that summer, and all through this past summer, it continued to put out shoots. It continued to want to live. It continued to want to grow. There was still life in it. One more tree story. Several years ago, when we lived out west, we had to take down a pretty large pine tree that was in our front yard. It was about 20 meters tall and was about 75 centimeters in diameter. It was a pretty big tree, but our driveway had started to buckle because of the roots, and the road had started to buckle a bit. The city wasn't interested in taking it down, but they would have found us kind of liable if the road got ruined, so we decided that we better take it down. And a man from the church came, and he brought his chainsaw and his brother, and together we took this pretty large tree down. We had to fell it in as a whole because we didn't have the expertise or the equipment to cut it down bit at a time. So everything was done correctly, and Al dropped the tree right where he wanted it, in the road. It was a fairly quiet street, and we did have, you know, people stopping traffic in case anybody came along. And we cut it all up and did away with it. And we had the stump sitting there. And we didn't want it to continue to grow. We didn't want sprouts coming out. So I did some reading to discover how you kill a tree stump. And one of the prime ways, apparently, is you drill holes down into the stump and pour gasoline into the holes, or some other noxious substance. Didn't really want to do that. So we just watched it, and there were no new shoots coming out. And we thought, well, maybe that's it. And a year went by, no shoots. 2 years, no shoots. 3 years went by, there was no shoots. So we figured it was probably dead. Sometime later, I was cutting the grass, I trimmed around the stump, and I stepped on it, and my foot went right into the stump. It just collapsed under my foot because it was rotten inside. The stump was well and truly dead. There was no life in it at all. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Sounds kind of like this stump was like our neighbor's ash tree stump, right? The shoots were coming out. It wanted to grow. But no, this stump of Jesse was like our dead pine tree stump. A stump with no life in it and no natural ability to send out new shoots. So what's that all about? This is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent is the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. It is a time of preparation, but not just preparing for Christmas. It is a time for us to prepare for the Lord's return as well, when the Lord Jesus will come again in glory and wonder and will set all things right as he brings the fullness of his kingdom to this world, to this new world. Advent calls us to look at the big story arc, to look back to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, that humble birth, and to see the whole of the arc of the story that goes all the way to the last day, the day of the Lord, when Jesus returns. Advent calls us to look at that whole story arc. The TV shows that I have tended to like are the ones with strong story arcs. There are TV shows where each episode is a story unto itself, and it's not necessarily connected very strongly with the other episodes in the series. But there are some shows where each episode builds on the last one. It builds up and it builds up. So as long as it doesn't get canceled before the end, you reach the climax of this overall story arc. And it's a big thing. It's a great way to tell a story. You're all trying to see what TV shows I watch, right? I've seen most of them, but not all of them, just to say that. But the ones I haven't seen, I know, are good story arc stories. Well, the Bible also has a magnificent story arc. Probably the biggest story arc that has ever existed, because it goes from the beginning of creation, runs through all of history, right to the end, which becomes the new beginning. So in Advent, we look at the big story arc, or as we sometimes call it, God's plan of salvation. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words to tell something of God's plan of salvation. Now, when we hear the word prophet, our minds immediately run to predicting the future. That's what prophets do, right? They predict the future. Well, in the Bible, prophets were those who brought God's word or God's message to his people. Sometimes that was a warning that would say, if you do not return to the Lord, then this will happen. Sometimes it was a promise that a prophet would proclaim God's promise of his protection, God's promise to restore his people, and God will do this no matter what. And sometimes it was God revealing part of his plan of salvation. And from where we sit, that can look an awful lot like predicting the future. But the truth is, the future is in God's hands. Nothing surprises God. I can tell you with a fact that you could do something, you could do anything, and God's not going, wow, I never saw that coming. The future is in God's hands. And so the prophets proclaim God's word to his people. That's what Isaiah did. Now, in the Old Testament, we read about the stories of God's people, each of those individual stories that fit in with that larger story arc. And we read that sometimes the people were faithful to God and they followed and they trusted, and sometimes they turned away from him and didn't have anything to do with God. And that cycle of faithful and faithlessness just repeated over and over and over again. But through all of that, God remained faithful to his people, calling them to come back home to him. And part of that faithfulness was the promise that he would one day send his Messiah. He would send his Messiah to his people to save them. Messiah simply means anointed one, chosen and appointed by God to save his people. The promise was that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, King David, the greatest of the kings of God's people. Then into this story, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. As I said earlier, the stump that is spoken of here is not like my neighbor's ash tree stump that desperately wanted to continue to live. The stump of Jesse was like the old pine tree stump that was dead, lifeless, rotten in the middle. But it's out of that stump, out of the dead, rotten stump, that a new shoot would come. You see, the throne had passed from David to his son Solomon, and it would pass to his son, and so on, down through the ages, so that descendants of David would always be on the throne. But it wasn't that far down the road that we got kings of David's line who didn't follow the Lord, and in fact, took the people away from God. With a few exceptions along the way, David's line had gone bad. David's line was all but dead, rotten in the center. And that's why this passage speaks of Jesse's stump and not David's stump. You see, Jesse was David's father, but Jesse was a peasant. Jesse was a nobody. The royal family had lost its sense of royalty in God's eyes and had returned to obscurity. The royal family had become a nobody, a son of Jesse, not a son of David. Not only obscure, but rotten to the core, even dead. But a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The promise of the Messiah was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus was and is God's Messiah, sent to save his people, sent to save us. Jesus is the shoot that came from the dead stump of Jesse. Life from death. Life from lifelessness. The rest of the passage goes on to describe the work of the Messiah and goes on to describe what that last day will be like when the Lord returns and there is peace in every way. As we move towards Christmas, we find that the Christmas story is a connected story. The Christmas story is part of that bigger story that we find in the Bible that runs from creation to the last day. And Jesus' birth fulfilled God's promise to send his Messiah to save his people. And Jesus will come again to establish the fullness of his kingdom and to make everything right. That means that we here today are actually part of that big story arc that is told in the Bible. Because it started at creation, ran through all the stories of God's people to the birth of Jesus and his life and death and resurrection and ascension and the history of the church over the last 2,000 years. And it continues on through to the day that Jesus returns. Well, we're in there. And in Jesus, we become part of that story. So here at the beginning of Advent, as we find our place in that big story arc, let us also find hope in that connected story. Let us find hope because God loves you. Jesus, the Messiah, is the Son of God. Jesus is God. And he came to this world with the expressed purpose of saving you by offering his life on the cross and rising from the dead. The cross was no accident. The purpose of Christmas was so that Good Friday and Easter could happen. Jesus was born that he should offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins, and that he would rise again at the call of his Father. Jesus loves you to the point of the cross and back again in his resurrection. So in this Advent, find hope in the fact that Jesus loves you. God brings life out of lifelessness. God brings life out of death. The shoot that became a fruitful branch came from a dead stump. Yes, God uses the natural and normal parts of existence to impact our lives, but he also uses the supernatural to impact our lives. God is not limited. God is not restricted in any way. The only limits that God has are the limits he has put upon himself to give us room and space to respond to him so that we love him. There would be no choice in our loving him if God filled that full space. So he limits himself to give us room to love him. You see, God is for life. God gives us life in abundance and eternal life. He offers that life to us in the Messiah, Jesus. Is life somehow lacking for you these days for whatever reason? Accept the depth of the life that Jesus offers you. Find profound hope in the fact of God bringing life out of lifelessness, life out of death. And God gives us confidence. Many today struggle with confidence. Self-doubt, insecurity, anxiety, reign. God gives us confidence, but not in ourselves. God gives us confidence in him and his love for us. God has proven himself to us in Jesus. Let him prove himself to you. Find lasting hope in the fact of God's faithfulness to you and in you. Advent is here. It is time to celebrate the Christmas story, that part of that great connected story that we find in the Bible. And as we move through Advent, find hope in God's love for you. Find hope in his bringing life out of death. Find hope in the confidence and faithfulness he gives to you. In this connected story, find hope in Jesus. Let's pray together. Our loving God, we thank you for this season, this season of preparation in which we look back and look ahead. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his humble birth. We thank you for all that he did in this world. We thank you for the cross and his sacrifice. We thank you for his resurrection and his ascension. We thank you for this Christmas story, the story that tells us of salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Fill us, Lord, with your love. Fill us with the life you give us in Jesus. Fill us with confidence in you. And we pray, Lord, your blessing upon this world, that as Christians, as the church around the world, mark Advent and prepare to celebrate Christmas, we pray that we would be a witness to you and your grace in many, many ways. We pray, Lord, the same for the city of Ottawa, that we would, as a church on Woodruff and the churches in the city, be a witness to this city of your grace in Jesus. We pray that you would reach out into the city and use us to reach out to draw others to yourself. Bless us and use us, Lord, for your glory. Father, we pray your grace and blessing upon Jack and Audrey, and continue healing and hope and gratitude in you. Bless all, Lord, who are in need this day. Reach out your hand. heal, be present, pour out your love, your grace, and your mercy. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue to give honor to God. Let us continue to worship Him as we give to Him our tithes and our offerings. Holy God, we thank you for your grace in Jesus. We thank you for life. We thank you for provision of life day by day and year by year. We bring these gifts of our money, of our time, our skills, our efforts, and we offer them all to you, that by them you would be glorified, and that through them the work of your kingdom would be accomplished here amongst us and in this community, this city, and this world. For your glory, Lord, in Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We gather on this first Sunday of Advent and we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the sacrament that has us look back to the gift of God in Jesus, to his sacrifice for our salvation, but also for us to look to the present and the life that God has given to us and the place that he has put us in to follow him and to minister, but also to the future, unknown to us, where the Lord is leading us. This sacrament calls us to look at that big story arc and realize our place in it. The Lord Jesus invites everyone who knows and trusts him as Savior to eat and drink and to know him better, to encounter the living God, and to find our place in his story. So let us come. Let us come to the table and know the Lord. Let us remain standing that we might confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. Our loving, holy, saving God, we bow in your presence at your invitation to come to the table, to be reminded of all that you have done for us to save us, that you, the living God, would humble yourself to become human, but not just to become human, that you would humble yourself to become human and allow yourself to be killed on our behalf. And not just killed, but to be killed as a criminal for us, for our good, for our benefit, for our forgiveness, for our lives. But you, O God, you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, that he would have life forever, always, to eternity. That death and the grave would have no claim or hold on him. And he ascended to your right hand. And you did all that for us. And you give us this sacrament not only to remind us of that, but to somehow allow us to enter into that, to know that grace, not just in our memories, but in the core of our souls. So bless us with your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing, that we should know you this day. Bless this bread and this cup to us, that they should be the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and that by them we should be filled. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." body of Christ. After they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ. Let us pray. Our God, you have given yourself to us in Jesus. By your Holy Spirit, you have taken up residence in our lives, and we thank you. And you have filled us and blessed us even now through this sacrament. And even as you have blessed us, make us a blessing to each other this day. Make us a blessing to all those we meet this day and this week. May your life be evident within us. May your life be evident in the things we do and the words that we say, that others seeing us, talking with us, being with us, would somehow see you in us. For your glory and for their blessing, we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go from here knowing that you are part of the story that God is living out in our midst, and Jesus is by your side. Go from here with him. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.